task B11 to B20. You will hear 5 short abstracts in which various people talk about why they are not currently working. You will hear the recording twice, and while you listen, you must complete both tasks. For questions B11 to B15, choose from the list A to H the reason why the person speaking is not working. For questions B16 to B20, choose from the list A to H what each speaker feels about an employment issue. You now have 40 seconds to look at the questions.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker 1.
It's a very touchy subject here at the moment. I mean, everybody knows the arrival of migrants has changed the face of Britain, but it's a difficult subject to talk about without coming across as prejudice or, well, just downright racist. I guess it's hard for me to say one way or the other if it's been a good or a bad thing exactly, but I certainly feel for the youngsters leaving school today. You know, those without many qualifications who are entering a market full of people willing to work for minimum wage. That's what should be against the law, paying people too little. Well, it wasn't like that in my day. Things were a lot easier then. I managed to find a good job with a decent salary. In fact, I loved it so much, I kept it right up until I decided to call it a day.
Speaker 2.
There's been a lot of coverage in the press recently about benefit cheats. You often see them on the front page of the tabloids. Men and women who sue for damages after a car accident, claiming they had whiplash or spine issues that left them unable to walk or work. And then, hey presto, a few months later they're caught up a ladder cleaning windows or scuba diving in the Tenerife. Of course, they wind up in jail eventually, which is where they belong. I suppose it would be funny if it wasn't for the fact that they create such a bad stereotype of people like me, who are really in pain. For those of us out there who are really in a bad way, the joke sticks a bit at the back of the throat.
Speaker 3.
Unlawful dismissal tribunals are the stuff of nightmares. You start off thinking that you have a fair case for a claim, but then by the time everybody's actions have been picked apart and retold and rehashed, it's impossible for anybody to work out what the truth is. Half of what happened to me took place in an empty office. Luckily, I had the word of one of my colleagues to back me up. Their cubicle was next to mine, and they'd overheard the worst of the abuse. And to think, their nosiness used to get on my nerves. In the end I won, but it took forever to get a verdict, and I had to pay all the lawyer's fees up front myself, which wasn't cheap, I can tell you. So yes, at the end of the day I was awarded a year's salary in damages, and my position was reinstated. But after everything that had happened, I couldn't face going to the office anymore anyway, so I handed in my notice the following week.
Speaker 4.
Even though I'd knew the company had been struggling for a while, it was still a shock when it finally went under. I suppose you could say I'm one of the lucky ones, though. My payout will be enough to keep me going for a few more months, and my skills are transferable. But I'm still scared of what the future holds. What really gets me is hearing how wonderful modern technology is. It's non-stop in the news. Digital revolution this, the age of information that. What about what all this progress is doing to our country's industry? To the people whose lives have been turned round because a machine has replaced their skills? Who talks about that? Nobody. What our workers need is a voice, because without that, they've got no way of fighting the multinational profit-making companies protected by their gangs of corporate lawyers.
Speaker 5.
When people ask me how I feel about not working, I tell them I don't miss it at all. But then again, I guess it's not forever. I have no idea how the jobless cope with endless days to fill. You know, there are still people out there who think that people like me are responsible for the failure of small businesses. I mean, those who reckon we put them under unnecessary financial strain because most of us will take at least 1 year off in our 20s or 30s. It's ridiculous. What they don't realise is that 90% of the money I'm getting now is government statutory pay, and I'm returning to work in 6 months anyway. I suppose not every country has a social system like ours, though. I have to say, it definitely helped having worked at the same place since leaving uni. My boss is so supportive. God, it only seems like yesterday I was wearing a cap and gown, and now I'm stood here with a pram. Unbelievable.
You have 15 seconds to check your answers. Now you will hear the text again. Speaker 1.
It's a very touchy subject here at the moment. I mean, everybody knows the arrival of migrants has changed the face of Britain, but it's a difficult subject to talk about without coming across as prejudice or, well, just downright racist. I guess it's hard for me to say one way or the other if it's been a good or a bad thing exactly, but I certainly feel for the youngsters leaving school today. You know, those without many qualifications who are entering a market full of people willing to work for minimum wage. That's what should be against the law. Paying people too little. Well, it wasn't like that in my day. Things were a lot easier then. I managed to find a good job with a decent salary. In fact, I loved it so much, I kept it right up until I decided to call it a day.
Speaker 2.
There's been a lot of coverage in the press recently about benefit cheats. You often see them on the front page of the tabloids. Men and women who sue for damages after a car accident, claiming they had whiplash or spine issues that left them unable to walk or work. And then, hey presto, a few months later they're caught up a ladder cleaning windows or scuba diving in the Tenerife. Of course, they wind up in jail eventually, which is where they belong. I suppose it would be funny if it wasn't for the fact that they create such a bad stereotype of people like me, who are really in pain. For those of us out there who are really in a bad way, the joke sticks a bit at the back of the throat.
Speaker 3.
Unlawful dismissal tribunals are the stuff of nightmares. You start off thinking that you have a fair case for a claim, but then by the time everybody's actions have been picked apart and retold and rehashed, it's impossible for anybody to work out what the truth is. Half of what happened to me took place in an empty office. Luckily, I had the word of one of my colleagues to back me up. Their cubicle was next to mine, and they'd overheard the worst of the abuse. And to think, their nosiness used to get on my nerves. In the end I won, but it took forever to get a verdict, and I had to pay all the lawyer's fees up front myself, which wasn't cheap, I can tell you. So yes, at the end of the day I was awarded a year's salary in damages, and my position was reinstated. But after everything that had happened, I couldn't face going to the office anymore anyway, so I handed in my notice the following week.
Speaker 4.
Even though I'd knew the company had been struggling for a while, it was still a shock when it finally went under. I suppose you could say I'm one of the lucky ones, though. My payout will be enough to keep me going for a few more months, and my skills are transferable. But I'm still scared of what the future holds. What really gets me is hearing how wonderful modern technology is. It's non-stop in the news. Digital revolution this, the age of information that. What about what all this progress is doing to our country's industry? To the people whose lives have been turned round because a machine has replaced their skills? Who talks about that? Nobody. What our workers need is a voice, because without that, they've got no way of fighting the multinational profit-making companies protected by their gangs of corporate lawyers.
Speaker 5.
When people ask me how I feel about not working, I tell them I don't miss it at all. But then again, I guess it's not forever. I have no idea how the jobless cope with endless days to fill. You know, there are still people out there who think that people like me are responsible for the failure of small businesses. I mean, those who reckon we put them under unnecessary financial strain because most of us will take at least 1 year off in our 20s or 30s. It's ridiculous. What they don't realise is that 90% of the money I'm getting now is government statutory pay, and I'm returning to work in 6 months anyway. I suppose not every country has a social system like ours, though. I have to say, it definitely helped having worked at the same place since leaving uni. My boss is so supportive. God, it only seems like yesterday I was wearing a cap and gown, and now I'm stood here with a pram. Unbelievable.
You have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the task. This is the end of the listening test.